Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and I'm here to give you the latest news and notes about the Pacers. And on this episode, we will focus on Indiana's 100-88 loss to the Charlotte Hornets as they wrap up a strange five-game road trip. Strange because it included 3 days at home between games in San Antonio and Atlanta. But nonetheless, the Pacers ended the roadie 2-3 after coming out pretty flat in Charlotte, to say the least, and falling way behind, trying to rally in the second half, but falling short with another double-digit loss on the road. So we'll hit some of the details from Charlotte and also dive in a little bit on the free throw numbers, which were remarkably paltry for the Pacers in Charlotte and historically so for the team. So we'll take a little deeper dive on that to find something interesting to talk about after another loss on the road by the Pacers. But before we dive in, a reminder to hit me up with your comments, thoughts on the game, any feedback you have. You can hit me up on email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, Pacers came out in Charlotte coming off a emotional and exciting win in Atlanta on Sunday afternoon, but they didn't have the juice to back up that effort in Charlotte, to say the least. And you could say it was a schedule loss. Certainly fits into that category, playing a back-to-back, last of five on the road before heading home. Never a good time emotionally for a team to play. But on the other hand, the Hornets were in kind of a similar odd scheduling situation, having played the last of several road games in Denver on Saturday night and returning home for their first game, which is always kind of a trap game as well. But they came home, they were ready to play, and especially their backcourt, as Nicholas Batum and Kemba Walker got things rolling in the first half, combined for 33 points. And Walker in particular was dealing out of the pick and roll, giving the Pacers defense fits. Pacers fell behind by more than 20 points, and looked like it was going to be a night where they just kind of mailed it in. Paul George did have things going, but really nobody else did, especially the bench, which has been a key part of the solid play of late, was that bench coming in at times, even picking up the starters. That wasn't the case tonight. Only Monte Ellis was the guy who picked it up for the game. The bench had 18 points. Monte had 12, but in that first half, Monte had 8, and everybody else was dry at the well. And that didn't help once things started going the wrong way in the first half. Give the Pacers some credit, coming back, rallying, and pulling within 7 points early in the fourth quarter. And it appeared they may have a shot if they could keep that momentum rolling. Now, this time, for the bulk of that comeback where the Pacers got things under double digits, Kemba Walker was resting. He would eventually return and really impact the game, and in fact put the game away with a two-minute stretch starting about the five-and-a-half-minute mark, as the game was at still at, you know, going between kind of 8 and 10 points back and forth. And then Walker scored 8 points, assisted on a Zeller bucket as well in a two-minute stretch there, and that pushed the lead back out to 17 with about 3.5 minutes left, and really that killed the Pacers' will to try and climb back again, because they were putting so much effort into getting stops and then really offensively continuing to rely on perimeter shots, and that just wasn't getting it done consistently. And Pacers again fall on the road. Paul George did his part in this one, no doubt, with 36 points. He also added 10 rebounds, 5 assists, but he did have 6 of the Pacers' 16 turnovers. Jeff Teague didn't do really any scoring until the second half, finished with 10 points and 8 assists, but the damage was done by that backcourt of Charlotte, who had the best of the Pacers on this night, that is for sure. Another disappointing night for Miles Turner, as he scored just 4 points, had 7 rebounds, and he was going into Atlanta on a stretch of scoring double figures in 22 consecutive games, but after Atlanta and Charlotte, he combined for 9 points in those 2 games and seems to really be in a bit of a funk, and that didn't help things at all because, as I said, Paul George had 36 points, didn't get much help from the bench. Jeff Teague was late getting into the action, and without Turner scoring, that really left it up to C.J. Miles. Miles did hit 4 threes and got things cooking in that third quarter comeback. He finished with 16 points, but really there just wasn't enough help for PG. And when you really want to rely on Turner, Teague, and PG to carry the load, having one of them missing so badly really puts a big strain on Paul to score so many points. And he scored 34 and 3 quarters in Atlanta, and then 36 in Charlotte. Kind of feels like Pacers are a little better team overall when he's scoring in the high 20s and getting a bit more help from other players on the team. So Turner, of course, has really struggled with Dwight Howard, so the game in Atlanta wasn't a big surprise, but it seemed like he carried the funk into Charlotte. Faced up with Cody Zeller, who has been really strong for the Hornets, coming off an injury recently. They have struggled when he's not in the lineup, but Zeller, you know, had 13 points, 11 rebounds, but for some reason is one of those guys that helps make that team work a lot better, which anyone who saw him play at Washington High School or IU knows. The guy knows how to play basketball, smart player, and he can not only pass but finish and make good basketball plays, and that's what we saw from Zeller once again, as he got the better of Miles Turner in that matchup in Charlotte. Now, let's dip into another crazy area from this game. Pacers were 2 of 3 from the free throw line. Yes, 3 free throw attempts for the whole game, and none in the second half. I had to look up those numbers on Basketball Reference to see how many times the team had shot just 3 free throws, and it has only happened 10 times in the NBA, and it was a franchise low for the Pacers. The next lowest game for the Pacers was 5 free throw attempts, actually not that long ago in 2010 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pacers had 5 free throws in that game. Guess how many LeBron James had? Yeah, 17. Of course, not a shocker there. Actually, in that game, the Pacers had 5 free throw attempts. They made all 5, but the Cavs had 44, which is insane. And they only made 23. I mean, I'm looking at this box score, and if you think things are bad with the Pacers right now, I suggest you might go back and pull up this 2010 box score. This game against the Cavs, where the Pacers started, Danny Granger, Brandon Rush, Dante Jones, Earl Watson, and Roy Hibbert. Wow, that is an interesting hodgepodge. And for some reason, they brought Troy Murphy and Mike Dunleavy off the bench to go along with A.J. Price and Josh McRoberts. So that was your 9-man rotation. And guess what? They didn't get it done in that game, losing 94-73. So, you see, things could be a lot worse for the Pacers right now, but it certainly is frustrating to see them go up and down. I mentioned last night after the Pacers' big win in Atlanta how great it would be for them to come out and back that effort up and finish off this road trip with a strong effort. Nate McMillan talked about the basketball gods rewarding big effort. Well, and that's why the Pacers still wear the crown as the kings of a team that is not as good as you hope they are and not as bad as you think they might be when things are going bad. Never able to enjoy too much success without a little frustration thrown in. And that's where they're sitting now as they head home after this five-game road trip, which is still, I would consider, a success. Wins over Houston and over Atlanta. Frustrating game in Miami. Paul George is thrown out. Great effort in San Antonio. Last-second loss in that game. But then a disappointing effort to end it in Charlotte. But overall, you know, a good effort. And they got through that worst chunk of the schedule. And now, as they finish out, you know, their schedule is a little bit more average and not as lethal as it looked a couple weeks ago. So they're still sitting above 500, hanging on in playoff position in the East. But after their performance in Charlotte, you know, the Pacers will no doubt be happy to get back to the Fieldhouse on Wednesday, where they will face the Detroit Pistons, a team they've had some great success against in their prior meetings this season. No doubt Pistons will be looking for a little revenge and trying to have something better for the Pacers this time around. But this, again, becomes a big game for the Pacers as they continue fighting for that real estate in the playoff position in the East. And they're battling right there with Detroit now after dropping that game in Charlotte. So thanks for listening again. And please share your thoughts on the game or, again, the current state of the team. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. You can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. That's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.